The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
I like an old man with a cool cane. When I see him, I'm like, that guy's cool over there. It's like when I walk with the umbrella sometimes. I just go, man, yeah. I feel cool. I don't know why, but I'm walking with my umbrella on the side and tapping the ground with it, and it just feels cool.
I'm going to be a cane guy now.
All right. Yeah, buddy. What's up? Chris Sims unbuttoned. Chris Sims here. Paul Burmeister's here.
No cane.
Wearing his all. You're not going to go all cane like when you get a little older?
I saw the cane thing on the rundown. I'm like,
we weren't
man,
talking about cocaine.
We're starting out with the fact that I'm over 50 again. Here we go.
It came up last week. It just came up, and I don't even know what brought it up. Me and Ahmed were talking about it. Oh, he was talking about Wayne Fonts. That's right, Wayne Fonts. The old Lions coach.
Run and shoot.
Right. And he was talking, but I don't know. Cane's one of those things.
You like it?
I feel like if I got to the age where, damn, my hip's a little sore, and instead of like, I'll take the little help, and I think it's a little bit of a fashion statement, as I was saying on there.
I remember my mom's dad had this giant thing of canes.
Right.
When I was a kid, I would take him, like, go out in the yard, and we visited him Sunday and, like, act like it was a golf club. And my mom, who never got mad at me for anything, was like, that's not very respectful. Don't.
Don't
treat that like it's a five iron.
It's not a good idea.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's the extent of my cane comment. I don't know. I got to think about this.
Okay. Well, I think it's like you're into style and fashion.
Sure.
Like to me, I'd almost want it as much as an accessory. That's where I look at it. It's like, it helps me out a little bit. But when you're cool, when you're old, you need something to make you a little cooler.
I hear that.
The cane.
Yeah.
And you're not saying that you're that old yet, that you need to worry about that, okay?
However.
But you're getting there.
Yeah.
It's coming. It's coming soon. And then the old, like,
I do like the hat.
I have a, what the hell do they call those hats?
Fedora.
A fedora or even like the Bruce Arians.
The Kangol thing?
Yeah, the Kangol. Exactly right. Like, I have a Kangol.
Nice.
And I used to sport it every now and then.
Yeah.
My cousin had bought it for me when he was over in Europe. And I could see myself going with the fedora or the Kangol
100%.
Hat as I get older, for
100%.
Sure. Losing a little hair. Just go, okay, let me put this on.
Thinking about the fashion, I mean, 3 or 4 years we've been doing this. I think this is the first time we've both arrived with no sleeves.
I know, right? I'm wearing just a plain T-shirt today.
Yeah.
Florio got on me. He's like, what, are you just going to wear a T-shirt? He's like, it doesn't even have a pocket on it. I was like, well, it's a designer T-shirt. I'm not like, it's not like some piece of crap I put on. And it's summer.
You can wear a black T-shirt anywhere.
Exactly right. I mean, if he can wear a zip-up sweatshirt on the show
in mid-May,
that's what he'll do. He'll like tomorrow. He'll wear a sweatshirt. He's gonna get on me about my damn T-shirt today. All right. So yes, I wore the tee today. Our guns are out.
That's right. Yeah.
And I mean, it's not hard to go the same color as me. It's either black or blue. But button your top fucking button. I mean, show some respect for the show. I mean,
I buttoned one.
Okay,
I buttoned one.
That's a lot for you? That's good?
Yeah, halfway there.
This maybe is what you're going to be when you get older.
Yeah.
Jerry Buss, like the Lakers show. Like, remember the Lakers owner, Jerry Buss?
Yeah.
You need to watch that first off.
Okay.
The show about the Lakers right now. It's great.
Yeah.
It's really good. If it lasts before Jerry West sues them for the Supreme Court.
I've seen that.
But like his shirt is button down
is
shirt
all the way down.
I mean, to the it's just a button. He buttons it right above the belly button every day.
Really?
Could you ever do that?
No. I do like going with the second one on button.
Yeah. Okay.
Total Seinfeld.
Sure.
Total Seinfeld show. If it's not too low.
Yeah.
Because to me, like when you go top, sometimes sometimes it's like way too
formal.
The
buttons can be a little too...
Yeah, it's like way up there.
Right.
So then you get a drop down one, but then it looks like you're showing off chest hair, you're trying to be the 70s guy.
Right.
It's a tough call.
It is a tough call. I know.
What's you have solved it by just going all the way up.
Well, yeah, yes, you're right. I keep it simple. Right? Yeah. That's how I kind of approach all my clothes. That's why they're all black and blue, because I'm just like, it's simple. I don't have to think. I know, that's one I don't get. And I'm like, where's the line of demarcation there?
I think you know.
I guess you do.
I think you know. It's shirt by shirt. If you're willing to go to that second one, you've got to evaluate each shirt.
I'm going to try it this summer.
Yeah.
I am going to do it. I'm going to go somewhere.
Try it out around the house?
I'm going to go I'm going to go out in public.
You're going to go out in public
like, and go.
Grocery store kind of public?
Nah,
kids to practice?
Like a night,
thing?
Like a barbecue night where I go.
Where you see other people.
Yeah, I'm going to go, I'm going down to two or three buttons down this site.
What's
going to
be the evaluation? The comments you get or like how you feel in it?
How I feel. I don't give a shit
Intrinsic.
About the comments. Comments, I always get comments. Why is your top button? What is this? Why do you do this?
That's what I hear. That's the right answer.
That's what I used to hear all the time. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So if people have finally given up on that.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a good one today.
I know we do.
It's more quarterback rankings.
Love it.
Right? Here
we
go. We're going to go 35 to 31, right? Is that where we're going today? Yes, 35 to 31.
Some really good ones here, too. And I think any chunk of the 40, any five, it's always fun.
Thanks.
But I got the list, and I'm like, oh, okay.
And you haven't seen the whole list yet, have you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I've only seen – I saw what you did Monday with Ahmed.
Right.
And – I've seen our list, so I don't know what you're doing forward.
Okay,
I just saw some of the names. I'm like, yes,
yeah.
Okay,
hey, listen, we got some good QBs in football right now, and we got some young, talented guys. We got some really high end backups, and we're going to talk about some guys today that have potential to be starters and kind of be good in the NFL. There's no question about that. One piece of news I want to hit on just before we start here.
Yeah.
The fucking Eagles just signed James Bradbury.
Howie Roseman can't get enough.
I mean, he's killing the offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is. And I mean, the Eagles, that roster there, and the way they're set up. I mean, not Bradbury was overpaid with the Giants. That was not a great contract, but he's still a good player. You know, they were paying him like he was Jalen Ramsey or somebody of that nature. He wasn't. But for them to add him now, damn. The D-line's good. The linebackers are good. It's the offensive line. I mean, the Eagles, you know, I'm a Giants fan, and I'm, like, sitting here going, damn, the Eagles are going to be good for the next 4 or 5 years. There's absolutely no denying it.
This is just your way of making all of us wonder, is Jalen Hurts 35 to 31 today? Is this your way of getting to the Eagles quarterback?
Tease.
Just call Howie and say, hey, can you sign somebody?
Well, you better listen to the full pod. He might be on here today. He might not. I'm not telling.
I'm not telling either.
No, no. He's definitely not. The one person I could tell you that won't be on today, I could tell you a few. Josh Allen won't be on.
Oh, man.
Mahomes,
I was a little disappointed.
Burrow.
Mahomes.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson dropped this far.
Yeah, you're not going to see any of them today. So there's a
Tom
spoiler.
Brady. Tom Brady's today.
right. Exactly, yeah.
How about we start by seeing what you did, just kind of continue the warm-up phase.
Sure.
See what you did there, 40 to 35. So Drew Lock at 40. Kenny Pickett, so at least one rookie there, 39.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater, 38. Gardner Minshew, 37. Tyrod Taylor, 36. Which one of those five created the most discussion and reaction the last couple days?
Hey, listen, I think, you know, the Tyrod Taylor, Minshew, Bridgewater area is a tough area there. It is, because it's very close.
Yep.
And some of those guys, you know, Bridgewater and Taylor are a little more proven commodities than those guys. You know, so that's always an interesting conversation. People always, the rookie, you don't know how he's going to be, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think that's the biggest thing.
That would be the one.
Yeah, that's always.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Steelers fans are all over the place.
Hey, thanks for including our guy before he played a snap, or why isn't he higher?
It's either way. Exactly right. Or why is he even on the list? You don't know what he is.
That's
why I'm here, though, everybody. This is what I do. This is what I'm going to continue to hit home here. I'm going to continue. I know we don't have to agree with everything, but we can agree that I do this a lot and look at this shit and study it as hard as anybody there is. So that's why I'm here. This is why I was trying to tell everybody for the last 5 years, Matthew Stafford was one of the 10 best quarterbacks in football and a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Oh, wait, he got on a team this year, and what did he do? Oh, he won a Super Bowl. Shut the fuck up. Okay, so that's why I got to use some of my experience and knowing my studies and what I've seen, and I know that as far as Pickett is concerned, you know, as you heard me say during the breakdown during the draft, you know, it's Mac Jones light to a degree. He's ready to play. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's you know, other than Burrow and Mac Jones here in recent history, he's about as ready to go as far as knowing how to read the field and play the position that way as we've seen. So that's why I can feel confident about throwing him in the list. And then, hey, I had a few people, and I just told you one that we won't give the name out. Drew Lock. People think I got Drew Lock too low. And I just – Drew Lock is – because they all see what I see, and I stick up for Drew Lock a lot. The talent's real. But it's just like, I don't know if I can trust him. It's all over the place. Exactly right. So, I mean, he could be that guy that goes like, he's 40 this year. And then, I mean, he has a great year. And you go, well, shit, he's in the top 20 next year. Because the talent is worthy of that. It's just all the other things that you need to check the boxes. You can't give a full check or you give no check in a lot of those areas. And that's where it's scary.
He's the one guy that I look at. And, again, I know you're 35 through 31. But your first 10 of all the names I see there, he's the one that if he was 18 or 19 next year, I wouldn't be that surprised.
I know.
If I brought his name up this time next year and you're like, I can't believe I had him at 40, I wouldn't be that surprised either.
I struggled with him. And my
the
bias
range is real.
My bias wanted to put him up higher than this.
Bias toward what, his talent?
Yes. And I liked him, and I liked him coming out of the draft. Yeah. But that's where I always check myself before I wreck myself. And that's where I go back. When I go back to the film, it usually answers it a little bit for me. And that's where I came to him. Like, you already said it. Inconsistencies. Or when I just watched it, I just went, man, I mean, I you can't trust him. And that, to me, is a big part of being able to be a quarterback. You got to be, you know, in the trust tree to a degree.
Right.
Yeah.
We just might have the chance to talk about him again later in this pod. Maybe.
We could.
Maybe.
We could.
Connect the dots.
You're right.
A little bit. Are we all ready for 35?
Let's do it.
All right. Drum roll. If we have it, Chevy Chase Vacation style, even better.
Yep, it's always better.
35. What do you
35.
Got?
Davis Mills, it's the Houston Texans starting quarterback.
Who would have thought last year at this time?
I know, right? I wouldn't have been one of those guys. Certainly not. Now, listen, let's just start off with the picture right here.
Yep.
This is something he can improve. He does have a few mechanical things where I go, like Joe Burrow did last year, to throw the ball harder and stronger. Davis Mills can fix a few mechanics in his game to allow him to throw the ball a little more explosively, too. You know, the arm is too long there in that position with the ball in
what
the
do
hand.
You mean the arm is too long?
That ball in the hand arm there, the angle is almost breaking a little bit.
Okay.
All right. I don't love that. His motion can get too long.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to get in that. It's the first time I saw the picture. All right. Davis Mills, though, I think was one of the more pleasant surprises when I turned
for
on the film.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to maybe even put him here. I wasn't sure where he was going to go, right? Had the first part of the season, you know, when Tyrod got hurt.
Yep.
Had a few moments of playing good here and there, but then, of course, struggled too.
Yeah.
And it's, hey, he's a rookie, and he was on not a very good team that couldn't run the ball.
And then got to go to the bench and kind of think about it a little
reassess,
bit.
Reassess, right?
Yeah.
It's a big thing. Again, reassess, take a deep breath. Wait, why am I making this so hard? Damn, coach just said go 1-2-3. Why the fuck am I going 1-3-4 and doing all this shit? So, yeah, he came back a different player.
Stats say it.
The stats say it. The film says it. He came back more confident and sure of himself. You know, he's got some ability in his game more than I gave him credit for, I think, coming out of Stanford, to be totally real with you, and maybe more than I gave him credit even at the end of the season last year.
Yeah.
Because, again, I wasn't glued into Texans football.
Of us weren't.
In week 15, I wasn't, like, breaking it down compared to some of the other top teams in the league. So when I did turn him back on, hey, the first thing is, just like we said in the draft, he knows how to play in the pocket. He's another guy, like a Kenny Pickett or whatever else, where, yes, he understands going through reads. He can read a defense and make the appropriate decisions. So that gives him a great start there. He is good in the pocket. I mean, he plays big in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He moves well in the pocket.
He's shift and he's, slide. I mean,
exactly.
Much better than I thought.
Exactly, right? When you turn it on.
Yeah.
Probably the number one shocking thing to me. Pocket presence and even the ability to get out of the pocket and do. Right. You're not going to go, oh, my gosh, wow. But if the pocket collapses or there's trouble, he's a good enough athlete to get out, run for a few yards, 5-10 yards, or, you know, make a throw on the run.
Yeah.
He is. You know, his ability, again, he's not a thrower. He's a passer. He's more about timing and rhythm and anticipation and, oh, wait, I've repped this a lot, and in this coverage, I got to throw this appropriate type ball.
Yeah.
And I can understand why they want to go with him.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Caserio's looking at it like he might have hit the diamond in the rough here where he got a mid-round quarterback that could be a starter. And I think he deserves that shot, and I think, you know, he's another guy. He can definitely be above this next year. There's no doubt. It's not huge talent, but it's good talent. And his ability to play the position is, you know, pretty advanced for the age that he's at right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two things stood out to me. The first you brought up, the way he kind of, with his eyes downfield, would shift and glide in the pocket. He
doesn't care
Very
about getting
nice.
Hit, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
he will get hit in the
Big
chest
dude.
And make throws.
Yeah,
right.
exactly. That
right.
was number one. Number
yeah.
two, and tell me if I'm on or off here. When he went to the bench,
right.
okay, after he started, but came back, I think when you're on a team that's not that good, you're a rookie, you kind of had an up and down shift when you were in before, I think most guys are a little more conservative. Not afraid to try to fit it in the intermediate, not afraid to go down, you know, not way downtown, but he didn't take the easy way out a lot. And I thought that stood out.
That
Nine
to me,
touchdowns,
yes,
two picks.
Yes.
In the last five starts,
that
and
to
it
me
wasn't
was
Dinkin
it.
And Duncan.
That's to me what is it. That listen, you know me, I'm probably a guy that puts a little more in stock into that kind of stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, oh, we got a 5-yard completion. Great. There was a 20-yard completion to be had. It's the fucking NFL. It's hard to move the ball. You gotta hit it when it's
yeah.
there. And he did do that. Yeah, early in the year, I think he was a little gun shy. He's not sure what he's seeing, you know. And that's why I put him in front of guys like Tyrod Taylor and Teddy Bridgewater. The last point you just said there. Because he got out of, let me just be quarterback completion percentage
yeah.
and it's never my fault. He started making plays and dictating the game himself with his own play at the end of the year. And pushing the envelope a little bit. And yes, you're right, making throws down the field. You know, that's going to be a tight one. Oh, we got it in there. I mean, there was a lot of those moments. And again, it's not a huge arm. It's not. I get that, but he is pretty natural at playing the position, and I think when you add that to the size like you're talking about, the ability to look down the field, subtle movement in the pocket and everything there, and then he does have great touch, and his arm is good enough to make all the throws. It's never going to be a wow arm, but it's a good arm. And I think between all those things, let alone my knowledge of the guy, you know, I know he's a nerd, and he works hard, and he's all
that.
Into the craft. And,
yeah.
and again, me knowing the guy, the jumps that guys make from year one to year two, that's where I think it justified putting him ahead of guys like Tyrod Taylor, Gardner Minshew, and Teddy Bridgewater and company.
It looks like he's ready to take a big step forward. You
yes.
look at the other 10 around him.
That's the question.
Do you think he's set up for success? So then 2023 in the spring, when we're talking about the draft, are the Texans in the quarterback game or not?
I think there is enough around him. I do. Yeah, I'm not sold that he's definitely the future yet,
yeah.
right? I think that's going to be – he's going to have to prove that
it's
this
not a,
year.
It's not a slam dunk.
It's not a slam dunk.
You could
dunk.
See it happening, though.
I can see it happening. Exactly right. I mean, if he stays on the course that we just talked about at the end of the year, he's going to be the starter and be the guy.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be, I think, the type that's going to go out and try to get $30 million receivers. Not Nick Caserio, that company. They're going to be like New England was in the day. We're going to get a lot of, you know, A-minus and B-plus type wide receivers
yeah.
and try to make it work that way.
Right.
You know, their offensive line, it's not bad. Right. And, you know, the running back got one of my favorites in Damian Pierce this year. But I think if you ask me in my heart of hearts, after doing what I did last week, I can't remember what day I studied him, if that was Thursday or Friday. But in my heart of hearts, where I think I would have gone in the process and go, he's kind of just holding it down for the year before. After I studied it a little bit, I went, my heart of heart kind of, my gut kind of said, I think he's going to be the quarterback, you know. For maybe more than just the year.
Yeah.
Or at least a few more. And we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah. yeah. One more fun note about him. So he was the 8th quarterback taken last year, Chris, at 67 in round 3.
Yeah.
If he would have gone 67 this year, would have been the 2nd quarterback taken.
That's crazy, right?
I mean, I know. There's so many fun ways to compare talent this year
yeah.
to last year.
Yeah. Right. And he, you know, I think – you see, a part of the league values that kind of guy
yeah.
where they just want to go, wait, he's going to run our offense and do that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm not all in favor of that guy, as you know.
Yep.
I'm more of like, wait, is Corral or Malik an idiot? Malik Willis, oh, they're not? Well, I'm going with them because I'm going to take the talent and I'm just going to go, I think I can teach them some of the other stuff.
Right.
You know, that's where I land with that. But I know that I'm not everybody's like that. And, yeah, somebody like Caserio, and there's a bunch of other teams, too, that really value the fact of, like, no, he's going to play it true to the position and really understands how to play the position and the little nuances of throw the ball away or don't force the ball or, you know, now is the time to take a sack, just get sacked. You know, he's got a good feel. He's natural like that for sure.
Fun way to start there. Somebody we never would have thought would have been here last year at this time. So
yeah.
Davis Mills at 35. bringing us to 34.
Yeah, another guy that you probably didn't think was going to be here, you know, last year. And really probably another guy that kind of was like the pleasant surprise of this whole exercise. I think this guy's good. Tyler Huntley. I do. Baltimore Ravens. All right. Please take away that fucking picture of me and evil Roger Goodell. Thank you for covering it up, Tyler
Pete.
Huntley.
Come on. Take Tyler away.
He maybe was put in the toughest spot of anybody last year. I mean,
because
he got to come in and they were in the playoff race still.
Yeah.
And they were going through a stretch of the schedule that was probably the toughest part of the schedule for them the whole year.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, hey, you get to come play and you got to play, you know, you're going to play Green Bay. The Bears and Cleveland and Green Bay
and
Pittsburgh
the
Rams. Yeah. Okay. Hey, yeah, come on in for your first experience.
Water's warm.
Right. Exactly right. So, you know, that's where I look at it and go, again, don't be all about the numbers here.
Yeah.
All right. This was a team that couldn't run the ball. Mm. They don't have a marquee number one wide receiver.
He ran it well. Yeah.
And their offensive line was beat up last year.
Right.
You know, the thing I think that came away with more than anything with him is throws the ball better than, you know, I thought coming out of college or even thought watching last year.
Undrafted free agent.
Yeah. Right. It's you know, again, he's not going to be throwing sidearm and doing all that stuff, but he has a pretty strong arm. He can push the ball down the field, and he can put enough zip on it to put some balls into tight windows over the middle to Mark Andrews and company. And
the ball
that
jumps off his hand sometimes.
Exactly right. Right. Yeah. There's a few throws every game where I go, fuck, why don't you throw it like that every throw? You know, and I think he's probably still toying with mechanics and figuring it out, and he's young still. And, of course, hey, he's been able to run and get out of jail free that way at times.
Yep.
But the other thing I love about him is he does want to stay in the pocket. He wants to stay. He's not looking to run, and he's a pretty good decision maker. So now you go decision making, right? And I would argue his decision making – you know, when he came in, like Lamar was going through a tough stretch and not playing all that well. And, you know, Lamar, let's say he got hurt in the Cleveland game. The week before that, I think, was the Steelers game. And Lamar was bad in that game, and they lost the game they should not have lost. You know, he came in and, you know, I was pretty efficient with decision making.
Yeah.
To the point where you're like, damn, it's he's good there.
Yeah.
All right. And then, hey, listen, it's 2022. Running, scrambling, quarterback design run plays is part of this evaluation now. Not, you know me, I'm still all about the pocket, and you got to make it happen there.
However, if you can do it, and just to add that,
yeah,
last three games he
ahead.
Played, 31 carries, 200 yards.
It's a real thing. It's part of his game. The defense has to worry about it. You know, so I think, you know, between all of those things, he is tough. You know, he can make some special runs happen. He showed a little bit of a clutch gene, really. The way he played in the Packers and Rams game, he certainly wasn't afraid of the big lights of the moment and all that.
He had him right there.
He had him there. Exactly right. In all the games. Now, he got the last game of the year against the Steelers. He got tricked by some coverages a few times. All right. And, you know, I will sit here and still contend that they were kind of punch drunk at that point, I think, as a football team, too. You know, it's everybody's hurt. You know, the defense was crushed. The O-line wasn't the same. There's no running backs. I mean, they were hanging on by a thread, right? So I guess I take that into account a little bit either way. But this is another guy he's going upward trajectory. I really like his game, and he'll be a low-end starter maybe, you know, when it's all said and done and gets out, you know, of Baltimore or maybe stays there. Who knows what the hell happens. But either way, they got a good backup quarterback there.
I want to thank you because when I got this list last night, Tyler Huntley, and going back and watching a couple games, got me out of post-dinner cleanup duty.
Good.
Got to work.
No problem.
I got to work.
No problem.
Got to
check
funny.
This out.
My kids walk by and they're like, he's just watching football. I'm like, it's work. I'm working right now. So I went back and watched a couple games. A couple things jumped out.
Yeah.
Number one, I give him credit for, like you said, wanting to stay in the pocket, but knowing that he's got a fastball with his legs.
Yes, right.
Okay,
he danced around the pocket. Like, he wants to make the throw. And then when it all, like, okay, shit, I can't stand here and throw.
When he has to use it,
he does. Right.
And he does it with an exclamation point.
Right, right.
That was number one.
Yeah.
Number two, he knew Mark Andrews was
the best guy available. Right.
So he didn't go there every time.
Yeah.
But you could see, like, okay, I know this is my number one.
That was on his radar.
And he
always
had a real nice connection
no
with
question.
Him. I thought he was a little conservative.
I think so, too.
I would have liked to see him push it downfield a little
bit. Sure.
And sometimes it's all fastball and no off speed.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you there. It is. I don't disagree with any of that. You know, the conservative thing, I think, is just, you know, again, I think that's something that, you know, again, this is why I'm here.
It could speak to a lot of things.
Well, it speaks to a lot of things. The state of their team, what he's being told behind the background. Hey, you know, don't take a chance. Our defense is okay. We can hang in there this week against Big Ben and that offense, you know, or whoever it may be. You know, so I think there's, you know, a lot of things. You're young. You don't want to screw the game up. You don't want to do that. You're starting your career off. So, you're going to err on taking care of the football a little bit. You know, but then what you saw, I think to your point, is when it got to the point of the game where it was like, okay, you do got to be aggressive now and push the envelope a little bit.
Yeah.
He was capable of doing it.
Yep.
And that's what I liked as well. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. But I'm a fan of Tyler Huntley. I really am. And again, you know, I think he showed the ability to make some plays outside the box that can really help a team win a game, whether his legs or his arm. And that's, again, where I give him an advantage maybe over some of these other guys. Some of these other guys we've talked about on this list already, they can run the offense and do everything good there. Huntley might be a little less in that department, all right? And you're, you know, like you said, a hair conservative, but – when nothing else is there and shit hits the fan, out of some of these other guys we talked about, I go, well, Tyler Huntley can make more happen than those guys can. And I'm one that maybe puts a little more stock in that than the rest.
How about a little QB Jeopardy pop quiz?
Ooh, pop quiz, asshole. What's that from?
It's been a
pop quiz, asshole. That was.
Is that just how
it's
you
an
felt
old movie.
In high
school? No, it's like a. It's what is
Speed?
It?
Speed?
Oh, you're I'm right. Not pop quiz. With Speed. You Speed with Keanu Reeves when they're on the bus.
I remember like the highlights.
And it was, Charlie Sheen's dad, right? No, it's not Charlie Sheen's dad. It's the guy that did the Nike commercials back in the day. He's the Hoosier dad drunk.
Dennis Hopper,
thank you.
He was so good in Hoosiers.
So good.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And remember, he did have the Nike commercials back in the day, if anybody remembers. He'd talk about Barry Sanders.
With Hardy Nickerson.
Exactly.
He would, like, hold the picture.
He would, like, talk to it and do that stuff.
Love that one.
And that's what he would do to Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Pop quiz, asshole. And he had to answer the question. Right.
Nice little lesson.
You
got
to see that
there.
Movie.
I know. I got to go home and watch
it. It's
okay. Quarterback Jeopardy?
Yeah, let me hear this.
Here we go. Does not have anything to do with Dennis Hopper or Speed. Who was the only undrafted quarterback to have more passing yards than Tyler Huntley last season?
Whoa, all right. Hold on. Let me pull
his
up the teams
here. His
first
name is a good hint. So, Tyler Huntley.
Oh, shit. I hate when you do this shit. Hold on. You make it harder. You give me I start to choke more. I'm like, oh, it's obvious. So you're saying it's a Tyler?
Well, it's
read the question to me one more time.
Okay.
Let me just make sure I didn't miss something here.
Who was the only undrafted quarterback to have more passing yards than Tyler Huntley last year?
Yeah. See, I was thinking of a young guy, Taylor Heineke.
There you go.
There we go. Yes.
Just the A.
I got you. Yeah. I was kind of thinking like rookies and young guys, and am I missing here?
Heineke hasn't shown up yet.
No. No, and he won't be. I'm just going to spoil it for you right now. He ain't making it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He was one of the first few names out. I'd like to read off some of the names. Maybe we're getting to the category where I could tell you the names that missed out.
Honorable mention? Yeah.
All right, yeah. Let's throw
it
out right
now.
Do whatever
the hell we want.
Hey, Heineke, Jacoby Brissett, Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, and Fitzpatrick.
Colt had a couple good moments last year.
No doubt about
it.
They were tough ones. Yeah. You know, they were. And then it just tells you, I think, there's
a lot of good guys,
quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
You know, so those were the guys that kind of were off the list. That was my 45 guys where I was going, damn, I got to make it to 40. Which one of these guys am I going to leave off?
Right.
Yeah, so it wasn't easy.
A little random QB Jeopardy and a random honorable mention.
Boom.
It's a nice way to kind of break it up there.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Yes, okay,
sir.
So we had Davis Mills, 35.
Yep.
Tyler Huntley, 34.
Mm-hmm.
33. I can't wait to hear about this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Geno Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Don't let the past infiltrate your brain about what's going on now.
Think about that.
That's what I want to say.
Yeah.
Don't everybody thinks about the bullshit that happened in Geno Smith's early career. And you know what that has to do with anything? Fucking nothing. That's right, because it's 5 years later now, and we evolve as humans and move on, okay?
Hopefully.
All right, yes, hopefully. You're right. It's a big hopeful here. All right.
So many ways to go. You want to
Go ahead. I'll you want to lead it off? Well, I mean, go ahead. Throw some shit at me. Go ahead.
So third or fourth time we've done this, his name's never been on the list.
No, yes. He's been the guys I've just mentioned off. Yeah. He's been 42 he's and been 44 and those kind of guys. Yes.
Okay. So, like, I mean, he didn't play that much last year.
No, he did not.
What did you see to say, you know what, not only is he going to be on just like 40 or 39 – he's going to be a little deeper on that list.
Because,
what impressed you?
Yeah. Well, one, you know, you got to get out there sometimes and play a little bit for me to judge about, okay, wait, where is he? Has he evolved? Has he gotten a little bit better? You know, preseason's been pretty good with Geno the last few years. That's why he's been on my radar.
Yeah.
Geno Smith, there's a reason he was the 33rd pick in the NFL draft and rumored as a first round pick. I mean, Geno's big. Geno's arm is big. All right. Geno plays in the pocket pretty damn well. Geno can get out of the pocket and run. Geno's release is legit one of the quicker releases in all of football.
It's always over the top.
It's a little bit over the top. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. But he can get it out of his hands, and he can make a power throw down the football field.
I'm waiting to hear about accuracy.
Yes, though. Okay. Well, accuracy, to me, that was probably the biggest thing that I boost him up this year. You know, when I watch some of those games and we'll go back, I mean, first off, that offense is not good.
Right.
So if we're going to talk about Russell Wilson and go, well, they don't give him a lot of options, we got to do that with Geno Smith too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fair. It's very simple. And then with Geno Smith, you know, I couldn't get over the control of the football he had last year. You know, whether it was in the tight windows, power throws, quick throws, the ball down the field, whatever.
And that was an issue way back when.
It definitely was. You know, I think he's kind of found the right way to throw the ball for him. You know, I do. You know, you're right. It is a little bit of that over-the-top motion.
Yeah.
But it's quick. It's tight. It never really breaks down. You don't see his arm get away from him ever in some weird way. You know, he can go – he doesn't really go sidearm. He'll kind of dip his body, but he can flick it, which is a thing where he can be a guy in his face and just do this and still throw a 20-yard out route and be impressive. And that's where I like Geno. He took care of the football. Here's another aspect that I thought was just through the roof good, all right? His ability to, again, a little bit like we talked about the last two guys. Man, Geno, when I went back and watched every throw from the four games, hopping around the pocket and waiting and moving and moving and waiting and hopping and staying in the throwing position. And, oh, there's a guy over the middle for a 10-yard gain. I mean, he did that a lot.
That is such a subtle thing, staying in throwing position.
It is.
When you don't release it right away.
Right.
He does jump out when you watch him.
Yeah. He did it really well.
I can picture it, yeah.
Yes. I mean, he's got some moments in the Jacksonville and the Steelers game where he moves around and hops around and buys time, and you go, damn, and then he throws a laser down the field. So he was great there, you know, the way he can slide and do that. I think the Jets and Giants conversation infiltrates people's brains too much with Geno Smith. I do. And I think there last year – again, I would, you know.
And we hadn't seen him for quite a while.
It's been
either.
A while. That's why.
He threw more passes last year, Chris, than he threw in the previous 7 years. So, I mean, he's been kind of out of sight, out of mind a little bit. And all people had to go on with what happened in New York.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And that's probably why, you know, again, I can't sometimes rank these guys when I haven't seen them in a few years or whatever. But I thought he played really good football against some, again, like Tyler Huntley. Yeah. Played some good teams. I mean, oh, hey, great. You know, oh, you got to come in against the Rams and throw dimes? You're down 16-7. Keep us in it. Oh, hey, here you are. Throws an interception late in the game. The guy tripped and fell. Probably could have been called pass interference. Played great that game.
Yeah.
Steelers game. I mean, managed the first half. Second half started to make a few plays when they finally took the shackles off them.
Yeah.
You know, they're too conservative sometimes. They hold back their quarterbacks in Seattle too often. Mm. But, you know, did some good things there. The Saints game was probably a little too careful. But, you know, when people say that too, because I saw somebody on like social media of the Saints, hey, the Saints shit on Tom Brady last year twice with a way better offense. So calm down with the Geno Smith didn't play that great against the fucking Saints.
Those are some really good defenses you list off. How about this one here? His passer rating, 103.0, if you're interested, just ahead of Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady. Numbers don't say everything, but that one kind
of
makes you stop and be like, okay.
Well, no.
Against some good teams.
Against some good teams.
Yeah.
You know, and even like, you know, his best game was against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's defense was no slouch. They were not a slouch. Their defense was better than they were statistically ranked. Their offense sucked, so they had issues. But there's a reason Josh Allen only scored 6 points against Jacksonville, and there's a reason Carson Wentz couldn't move
Carson
the fucking
Wentz
ball
the
at the end
game.
Of the
yeah,
year.
Yeah,
exactly
yeah.
right. You know, and here's my last piece of the puzzle. 68.4%, right? And high degree of difficulty of throws. It wasn't bullshit 3 yards here
yeah.
or screen here. And look, I'm 9 for 10 and I haven't thrown the ball past the line of scrimmage yet, but my quarterback ranking's really good. And everybody can, at the end of the week, go, look, he did so good. And I just don't give a shit about that stuff. It's stupid. He makes throws and plays that really change the game or change field position. And I, again, will put more value in that than the guy that throws for 79.5% for 3.2 yards per completion. Sorry, that doesn't do anything for me.
You've invited some really nice automatic Seattle quarterback questions here.
Yes.
With your first two sets of
yeah,
lists. So
right.
Drew Lock at 40, as we mentioned earlier. Geno Smith right now, 33. Why 7 spots ahead of Drew Lock?
I think the biggest thing is, like I talked about, the trust tree. You know, I mean, again, Drew Lock, as much as I go, wow, with some of the plays,
yeah.
I go, wow, that is stupid, almost every other one as well. Whether it's bad decision-making, trying to fit a ball into a tight window down the field, or just the stupid turnover at times and not having a feel yeah. for the overall game, that's the biggest reason. That's where – and then people are not giving Geno Smith enough credit for his ability. They're not. His Drew Lock, as much as I love his ability, is not going to go into Seattle on the first day of practice and people are going to be like, man, Drew Lock throws lasers around the field.
Yeah,
they're going to sit there and go, damn, both these guys got good arms. Maybe Drew's is a little stronger, but you know, I would say Geno's more accurate and controls the ball better.
Certainly,
I
was
would,
last
and
year,
I
yeah.
would tell you that Geno moves in the pocket and has better presence in the pocket than Drew Lock.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going to go with that.
So
yeah.
when Big Russ rolls into town, Denver at Seattle, Week One. You're pretty confident it's going to be Geno Smith starting quarterback.
I think it's going to be Geno. I do.
Okay,
I do.
Let's go a few yeah. months beyond that. We just talked about Davis Mills this way.
Sure.
Would he be the quarterback after the season?
I think he.
Do you think Geno will be?
Again, we got to see how the year goes. I do think he has talent and potential to be a mainstay type of starter in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's never going to be top 15 in football. I get that, but I do think he can. You know, be that guy. Now, again, of course, we know a lot of things play into that. Not even sometimes your play. They're going to have to win some games. You know, a few bounces of the ball go his way. Can they protect him? How does the offense evolve? But I think he's got a legit chance to, and for a team that I think is kind of looking to go, we don't need a superstar quarterback.
Right.
We just want somebody that's tough
thinking
and
that
leads
as you're describing him. Yeah.
And do that. I do think he's got a little more chance than just your normal bridge-type quarterback.
And if there's a team that's ripe for wanting to have that kind of quarterback after what they've just been through.
Exactly.
Wilson kept them in everything, but maybe they want somebody who's just like part of the team.
I feel like they want that, and I feel like they want to play more like, you know, they did when they went to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row.
Right.
Where, you know, people forget. Russell Wilson was handing the ball off and being really conservative, and they were playing through the defense most times.
Hey, Davis Mills, 35, Tyler Huntley, 34, Geno Smith, 33. Gave me a lot of things to think about and ask you about.
Good.
32 and 31 are even better.
Oh, I know.
I don't mind saying.
No, it's getting to the nitpicking area here. This ain't easy, all right? I don't know why I do this to myself, all right? I don't know why. I get stressed out.
I'm happy you do.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And I just get crapped on everywhere. But here we go. Number 32. Sam Darnold.
The Jets quarterback theme continues.
Yeah,
Geno Smith to
right?
Sam Darnold.
Seriously, right?
Browning Nagel is next.
I didn't even mean to do that either.
Accident.
But, man, Sam Darnold, you know, definitely a rough year.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Didn't start rough.
No, didn't start rough. You know, and let's start there. I mean, Sam Darnold, first off, you saw it. He can move and run better than I think people realize. What do you have, six touchdown rushing touchdowns in the first 3 or 4 games there.
Runs pretty well.
Yep, runs pretty well. You know, again, pretty good feet in the pocket. Another guy there, I go, man, his ability to hop around and kind of move and do that type of stuff is really good. He doesn't have any different arm angles, so I'll say that. So not as a negative. Every throw is pretty much the same with Sam Darnold. The motion's the same almost every throw. Another guy that I would go has a very quick release. It's the one thing I've always liked about Sam Darnold. He can get it out of his hands fast. And as I've always said, He is very good intermediate and short ball thrower. Now, you know, he's got a lot of talent to go. He should be higher than this. I would say, and listen, there's still people in football that sit there and go, I think Sam Darnold can be something in the NFL.
And he was 19 last year, 23 the year before.
Yes. I've had it.
Yeah.
I've had it with one thing, and this is where he is. One, he doesn't see the field all that well. He doesn't. That was the one thing. Even in the 3-0 winning stretch early in the year when I went back and watched, I went, you know, hey, they won. Some of those games they should have fucking blown the team out or dominated, and they didn't because he turned down or didn't see the field right and there was throws to be had. My biggest complaint about him more than anything is he still misses too many of the big throws down the field. Way too many.
Like doesn't throw them or just flat out misses them with
misses
accuracy?
Misses them. It's damn, there's DJ Moore down the sideline. He's gone.
Just, so he sees it and throws it.
He sees it and throws it, but misses it.
Yeah.
You know, there's Robbie Anderson on the 20-yard out route. Fuck, he's wide open. It's 3rd and 4, and he airmails it over his head. Or throws it behind him a little bit. And it's just too much of that to where, you know, again, there's certain talents and things that I really like. But, you know, some of the, yes, the power, the explosive throws, as we've talked about, I know I value it more, but the things that can really change the game
right.
and field position of that,
right.
man, is there a lot of instances as you go through the whole season and watch his throw where he missed opportunities for them to do that.
I think you just answered the one question. I always have notes here, and I have one circled with a star around it. I said his supporting cast, his experience has changed. But is there one thing that stayed with him or kind of haunted him from New York to Carolina?
I think that's it.
You fill in the blank with that.
Yeah, it's because the talent, their team's got talent.
Yeah,
you know they're not. I understand their O-line's not great.
The O-line, struggled a lot.
Yeah, it struggled. It did. There's no question. Then McCaffrey got hurt. I got that. You know, and he does a good job of moving the pocket, like we said. But also, here's the other thing I would say: he also loses sight of the pocket at times. So as much as he moves around in the pocket and does a good job, at times, I found myself, and I wrote in my notes a few times, of just going, get the fuck out of Dodge. Get out.
Just
how many times are we going to pot the ball and you moved in the pocket? They're coming. They're collapsing. They're going to stop, hit you, and you're going to fumble, or they're going to slap the ball out of your hands. And to me, that's another aspect of why I go, damn, he's talent, and there's things to say that he should be around the top 20, but there's some trust tree things there, again, where I'd go back to go, it just, I don't trust him to make the right decision or see the field the right way at times. And then I felt like the pressure of the whole situation got to him a little bit as I went through the year. Then he started forcing some balls and doing some stupid shit.
And then the whole deer in the headlights scene.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there was a little bit of that. And again, I want to explain that their offense was not good. And with Joe Brady early in the year, there's a reason he got fired, because their offense was very repetitive and very easy to figure out. There's no doubt about that. So, listen, I did take that into account, too. But some of these things that I'm explaining are controlled by you, the quarterback, and that's where it's just got to get a little bit better. And that's where it'll be interesting between him and Matt Corral, who they drafted. Because Corral, you know, is more talented than Sam Darnold.
Could see him playing a lot as the season, season got longer.
I could.
I want to throw this up here, Pete. This is Pete's question. I think it's a really good question. We have a graphic of his career with the Jets, also with the Panthers. As we look at that, let's consider this question and this theory that's always been out there about him. Did last year disprove this theory that Darnold failed in New York because of the talent around him? And a lot of the numbers are the same. I mean, yards per attempt, completion percentage right at 59, passing yards a game, 213 to 210. Now, he did throw more picks last year than touchdowns, but I think a lot of these numbers say that his production on paper looked the same.
Yeah, I think the question's still
valid.
It's still valid. I do.
Yeah.
You know, again, some of it's trickle-down effect. Like, the Jets in that situation made bad habits, and it causes some issues, too. That's where people don't realize. I think you're just going to go to a new place and blank slate, and you'll be better. No, it can also give you less confidence because things didn't go well.
Right.
You know, you might not have been taught certain plays the right way. Who knows? You know, you feel the pressure of the situation. I'm like, I got to prove that it's my second team now. I got to prove that I was the third pick of the draft. The Jets did fuck it up and all that. You know, so no, I don't know if last year disproved that yet.
Okay.
I don't. Again, I think there's things here, again, to say he could be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
There's a lot there. But as I broke down a little, physical talent, decision-making, leadership, pocket presence are kind of my four things I'm really into,
yeah.
right? Physical talent, he's got some of that, for sure.
Enough.
Yeah, enough. Yeah. Plenty, enough, right. You know, decision-making, big question mark. Big. Leadership, what he brings to the team, there's not much.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing where I'd go, like Tyler Huntley, Gardner Minshew, those guys bring something to the offense with their leadership, their pizzazz, the way they are, their edge. Yeah, there's none of that with Sam Darnold. I've thrown three touchdowns, and the face is the same. I've thrown an interception, the face is the same. And, you know, there's good to a degree with that.
Yeah.
But I also think there's good to a degree of the fact that Brady throws the fucking tablet on the sideline every now and then and motherfucks people. Yeah. There's good with that, too. And to me, there's an edge there missing that maybe some of the other guys around this area have, too.
I have one other kind of overriding question or thought about this. I want to see what you think. So I know he's someone that you've seen the talent when a lot of people throughout the years have just seen the fact that they're not winning, he's not playing well.
Yeah.
So you're feeling that he is the guy in Carolina right now. Are you more – because it didn't feel like he was going to be.
Yeah.
Are you more disappointed in the organization that here we are in May and Sam Darnold's your guy after what we saw last year? Or are you more excited for him because he is somebody that you've seen the positive when others have seen the negatives?
I'd probably go with the first one.
Disappointed.
I think
so. I would say it's at the very least surprising.
It is surprising.
It's surprising.
Right. I think that's the word I would use. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I think they tried their damnedest to make something happen.
On a number of levels.
They really did. They've been involved in the Baker Mayfield thing.
Yep. Deshaun Watson.
You know, Deshaun Watson, they were willing to crawl to Houston to talk to him.
And they had everybody at all these top quarterback workouts.
Exactly
right. Right there next to
him. Exactly right. So I think that says a little bit. All right,
yep.
I do, you know, and yeah, he's gonna have to go a little ways here to you know, disprove his own coaching staff, because again, what I would say is Corral, yeah, we know he's a little raw, but Corral being a third rounder, you know, it already happened last week. We got this guy in the third round. Did you see the fucking balls he was throwing today?
Yeah.
Did you see how fucking awesome of an athlete he is? So he's going to go on the first practice field of the first day, and his physical ability is going to pop more than Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
And that's where it'll be interesting for Sam Darnold here. If they slip up, he doesn't play good, I think he'll have a short leash this year, and you're going to see Matt Corral go.
It's really best-case scenario for the organization and for Corral that he's a third-rounder.
I know.
Takes the pressure off.
It does, right. It really does.
Same guy, same system, same everything, but the fact that he went in the third round instead of the first changes the entire feeling.
It changes it. Now it looks like we struck gold in third round.
Right.
Right. Where, you know, you took him in the first round. It's like, oh, we got to get him out there. We got to put him in there. Oh, man, we got him in the first round. He's not very good at this.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man, darn it.
There's no rush now.
Right. There's no rush. There's kind of no pressure on the situation. And he's going to be chippy and ready to go and pissed off because he was in the third round anyways.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of play. And let me just say this thing, too, because Darnold fits the scheme of how they play with Ben McAdoo. I think he's, you know, hey, it's a West Coast offense. Ben McAdoo became the head coach of the Giants because he was coaching Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers was throwing piss missiles all over the field. Right. But that's also where, hey, Darnold fits that. But damn, so does Matt Corral. Matt Corral is made to play in that type of offense. I mean, that's that to me, and that's where it'll be interesting.
So Sam Darnold at 32 was fun.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That was a gift.
Yeah.
31 is even better.
Woo, baby.
Even better.
Here we go. Open up the floodgates. Unleash the Kraken. All right? And here we go. It's Trey Lance at number 31. All righty. Here
up
we go.
Seven spots from last year.
I know. I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know if I'm going to be hated, loved, assassinated, or what here in the next 48 hours. Maybe all of the above. So we'll see where it goes.
Probably just a little bit hated.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't see assassinated.
Okay, good, good, good. Let's not go there. But, you know, Trey Lance, I'm you know, flat out, first thing I'll say is probably one of the hardest guys to really place on the whole list. He really is. I see – the talent, the potential, all of that. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, if you were really into that and you believed you could groom him and fix him and do some of that, I can get why you pick him at number three. The arm is ridiculously strong, and he's a good athlete. And he does seem like, you know, again, he's a good kid. And from everything I've heard from anybody, he is smart. But I haven't seen the smarts on the field yet, I would say. All right. There's some things there. So we talk about the talent and, yeah, all of that. And, yes, there is that. There's no doubt. And Shanahan's going to be able to do some special things. But I still got too many questions, too. That's why I couldn't place him higher, where there's going to be a few guys in front of him that are – they're not as talented as him that we'll get to in the next podcast.
What's your biggest question?
Well, I think the accuracy is still the biggest question. Just the pure ability to be a thrower and a passer. You know, again, every game was a fucking miracle to get back to 50% throwing. I mean, it really was. It was, he's 6 for 15 here. We're early in the fourth quarter. He's 6 for 19, and it's early fourth quarter. And I feel like Shanahan had to call plays to basically go, let's get his completion percentage up. Yeah. So maybe we can end the game at 50%.
Yeah.
I mean, I really felt like as I was watching some of the games, that was part of it. So that, yes. You know, and then the ability, as we talked about many times in the preseason last year, the ability to throw the appropriate ball. Remember when we went through that period last year of like, you know, people were like, man, it's so many drops in the preseason. It's like drops. He's throwing to a receiver from you to me, and he threw it as hard as he can.
Heavy fastball, nose down, heavy fastball.
No spin. Yeah. Right. We've hit on that.
Yeah.
And that's it jumps out when you watch on film. Not only that, I think the thing that's concerning is it's, around 50%. Damn. Almost 50% of the completions are like, whoa, that guy barely caught it. Or, whoa, he had to turn around and make some crazy catch.
It's not easy.
It's nothing is easy.
Yeah.
And then I think what added on to it, you see very few real quarterback plays, go through the pocket, do all that, read it, do all that. A lot of his big plays and his stats were what I would call Shanahan specials, where I'd go, listen, it's great throw downfield and all that, but fuck, he's wide open by 10 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have put me or you in on that play, and we still would have got that done.
Right, right.
You know, and so I know people are going to look at that and go, wow, and I understand the wow factor, but that's not enough. I got to see stuff like that and plays like that within the normal rhythm of the offense and other things too. You know, too many of the big successful plays were just Shanahan serving it up on a platter.
I want you to keep going with this sentence in between.
Right.
This is the team that expects to be playing in late January.
Yeah.
He's not the best quarterback on the roster. Tell me if I'm right or wrong.
No, right now he's not. No, he's not the best quarterback on the roster. You know, and Jimmy Garoppolo's on that roster. Jimmy Garoppolo's going to be – he's on this list, of course. He's above this, for sure. Yeah.
How do they deal with that?
It's going to be tough, you know. Now, but this is Shanahan, who's probably the most creative offensive coach in football.
Mm-hmm.
He started 2 games last year. They fucking had Arizona on the ropes in Arizona.
Yep.
The Houston Texans game, go back and watch that. It explained everything. It was Strugglesville, but they hung in there, and then a few Shanahan specials came up, and they win the game. But, you know, even where he is here, and yes, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be higher than this. And you drafted him at number 3. His potential is great.
There's the word.
Shanahan can hide the deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
Shanahan will... you know, highlight the good things he does and do that, and that'll help the growing curve here a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's the thing I look at. And then, hey, the 49ers maybe are the best team in football.
I was just going to say, is the team around him good enough on offense and defense where he can be like, okay, we're gonna make this kid good by Thanksgiving.
Yes.
We might end up there only a game or two above 500 or 3 or 4, who knows?
Right.
But once we get to December,
yes,
watch out.
I think that's why you got to do that. I think that's why you got to play him. You got to start him. You got to do it. You got to do it. Yes, I think you're saying exactly right. And I think, yes, to your point, my answer is yes, that they are – the 49ers are a Super Bowl team, period. They were last year. We know that. And, you know, even with saying all this, you know they basically had to do some of this stuff with Jimmy Garoppolo too.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's going to be like, oh, my gosh, we got to figure out how to kind of work around our quarterback. No shit. Well, they've been doing that with Jimmy Garoppolo. So that's where I have tremendous, you know, faith in Shanahan.
Yep.
And I think Shanahan could probably make it look even better than it might actually be, like it did last year. When you look at it, the stats
he's
and on paper.
He's going to need that skill.
I know.
For a while.
I think so.
For
right. Until he, you know, grows into like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I think that would be, to me, the goal. It's just, hey, let's get him out there. Let's get him playing. Let's get progress. And if we can get to like you're talking about, mid-November, late November, where we start to go, uh-oh.
Yeah.
He's starting to read the field and make a few special throws. Watch out for the 49ers. And that's, again, another part to bring into this conversation of why it's so important that they keep Deebo Samuel. Because he's going to make life a lot easier on Trey Lance. Exactly
right. Sure would.
Right.
Let's have a little fun with the fact that the schedule just came out and this whole topic of Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo. So what percent chance right now that Jimmy Garoppolo is the week one starter over Lance as we kind of take a peek here at the Niners 2022 schedule? Sounds like it's not very high.
Yeah, it's not high.
At Bears, Seahawks,
it's single digits to me. I mean, it's if Trey Lance falls off a cliff and we never see him again, yeah, or like something crazy happens.
It's not a competition. Like, the decision's been made, right?
I think so. I think Shanahan told everybody at the owners meeting that we think Trey's ready to go.
Yeah.
He said that. So there you go. He's right. They tried to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, so we know where they are.
Yeah.
And then, man, it's a nice way to start. At Chicago? I don't know. I don't see it with Chicago. Eberflus, you know, got respect for him. I know he's a good defensive mind, certainly.
And then Seattle?
Shit. I mean, that's not a bad start for to get started with here. Seattle kind of in a retool, rebuild mode. And then and then you go back to what I call the Shanahan homecoming game. The Shanahans go back to Mile High Stadium, the Broncos there, yeah, the place where Kyle's dad, you know, put the Broncos on the map and all of that. And, hey, shit, the Broncos, they hired Vance Joseph over Kyle Shanahan. They could have had him as their head coach. So
yeah,
there's some, interesting little wrinkles to that game right there.
All right, from a peek at the schedule, thinking about the Niners and Lance, let's go to PointsBet. 49ers over under 10.5 this year. Would you go over or under? And would your answer change depending on whether it's Jimmy G or Trey Lance starting?
No, it doesn't. You know, again, Jay, the one thing I probably didn't talk about enough here with Trey Lance, too, is, hey, running is going to be a thing here. You know, it's going to be another element of the offense that was not there with Jimmy G that you're going to have with Trey Lance. So, you know, that's another way of Shanahan being able to manage this whole thing here. I'm going to take the over.
I'd go over.
I'm going to take the over.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the things I've said many a times. I think I've said it here. Listen, I talk a lot. I don't know where the hell I say everything sometimes. They're good, like we both see.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think is a cool thing about this year. It was one of my little themes of the year. AFC, star power, quarterbacks, blah, blah, blah. NFC, full complete teams, 49ers, Bucks, Rams, like real complete teams. It's not always just all about the quarterback and everything.
I would have taken the over even if it was 11.5 instead of 10.5.
Yeah, you'd go that high. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It doesn't change my opinion on whether it's Jimmy G or Lance or anything. It really doesn't, and I am going over. Yeah, I mean, again, I wouldn't be shocked if we were sitting here late January going the 49ers in the NFC Championship game again.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and is Trey Lance a quarterback? I would not be surprised by that at all.
He's in such a good spot because in one way you think, oh, that pressure and the fact that Jimmy G's there, it's a team that should win in January, that could be a negative. But
yeah,
they're so good. You talked about him being 6 out of 18 sometimes.
Right.
They can win that way.
I know, they can.
They could win with that for a while.
100%.
They can't win with that forever.
They went to the Super Bowl without their quarterback throwing the divisional and championship game.
Right.
So to your point, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, shit, that was a dicey decision. Let's hand it off for the next game and a half and just get to the Super Bowl. Okay, we can do it.
Right.
Because of Shanahan. So here's another guy, I think, what we talked about earlier, maybe like a Drew Lock or somebody that, hey, yes, next year he could be significantly up. He's a hard guy for me to gauge growth and where he's at quite yet. It's very raw. He's got mechanical flaws throwing the football, let alone some of the things we talked about. And that's where I'd like to know or see if it gets fixed or, you know, maybe he's one where after like preseason game 2 or 3, Pete gives me like a reprieve, right?
Mulligan.
Be like, all right, you saw 2 games. Like, now where do you think you want to put him? he might be one where I'd go, oh, shit, it looks good.
Yeah.
He's fixed his motion, and, man, Shanahan got him coached up. Okay, maybe he should have been 23 or whatever. I mean, I'm going to be very intrigued with Trey Lance, of course, because of my friend Kyle Shanahan, but just the talent and, of course, the, like you said, the pressure of the situation, too, has just made it a spotlight thing NFL.
Yeah.
Jimmy G, they traded 3 first-round picks to get to pick number 3 to get this guy, you know, and all of that. And then, like you said, a Super Bowl team that you think is going to be 11.5, you'd go over. And
yeah,
I hear you there. I don't think that's crazy. So that's why it'll be a fun season to watch in San Francisco with Trey Lance.
Hey, keeping it going with PointsBet, you can download the PointsBet app. Use code NBC2K to sign up. Get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000.
Booyah. You know it. If you're in an eligible state, PointsBet has an exclusive sign-up offer for unbuttoned listeners that you can't miss. Download the PointsBet app. Use code NBC2K to sign up and get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. So say you bet $100 on the 49ers to win the NFC. If you win, you will get $750. But if you lose, you will still get free bets worth $100. Come on.
Can't lose.
Download the freaking app. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet.
And there are five more quarterbacks there.
Woo, 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 woo.
Well done. Well done. Davis Mills, Tyler Huntley, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Trey Lance. Wow, you did 10.
I did 10.
Five Monday, five there Wednesday. We go. There
yep.
we go.
We off only got a month more of shitting on Chris, and we'll be good.
It is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, thank you. Oh, I literally have people from other media markets texting me going, thanks for your list, man. Like, I really, really appreciate your hard work. And for this time of the year, we don't have a lot of tough stuff to talk about. It's great content.
It's May.
Right.
It's
so May. I do appreciate that when people reach out and kind of say that.
Yeah. I appreciate this time of year. I get from my wife, are you listening to me? I'm like, no. I'm going through social media to see all the things people say about Chris in his top 40.
That's great.
Of course I'm not listening to you. Right?
Yeah.
It is that time of year.
Yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, Pete, do we have some time to read these questions?
Yeah, actually, I'm looking at them right now. Let's hit them. Yeah, there's some good ones here.
Here we go. Homies react to the Sims top 40. Number 38, you had Teddy Bridgewater. Nathan says, would a quarterback like Teddy have had more success with the Bears instead of Mitchell Trubisky for the 3 years when they had a dominant defense?
I will not agree with that. No. No, I would not, because I think Trubisky's playmaking ability was needed to kind of boost that offense a little bit.
It was a painful scheme to watch.
Andy Dalton and Teddy Bridgewater. What's the difference? Tell me. I mean, you know, Dalton just off the list there, too. I think I had him like 46 or something like that. But, I mean, you saw him in the offense. Didn't do shit there either. That offense wasn't good.
Right.
They needed Trubisky's ability to run and scramble to kind of get where they were going to get. Yes, were there some games where, it might have been a little more efficient at quarterback with Teddy Bridgewater? Sure. But I also think there would have been a lot of games where he'd go, it was more efficient, but he never made a play, and we lost. We needed the play or two to win the game. And Trubisky ran down the sideline for a 40-yard gain or a 50-yard bomb down the middle that put us over the top. So I would say no to that. That's a good question by Nathan, though.
Thinking about Gardner Minshew now at 37. This is from Charlie Jameson. Great pod. I love this. As a Lions fan, I actually would rather have Minshew than Goff for his moxie and leadership. Rooting for him, but I understand the ranking.
I understand your thought there, Charlie Jameson. I do. I think, you know, there's some truth to that. First off, the moxie and leadership thing, that is real. And I do put some value into that. I've probably put a little more value in that in the last 2-3 years in my list than I did originally. Like I said with Gardner Minshew, he has a real effect on the team. You see it when you turn on the game. They love him.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets hit, they're worried about him. He makes a play, they want to go celebrate with him. He goes to the sideline, they all fucking want to hang with him and tell him how awesome the play was. And you're a fool for acting like that out there. So there is that effect. And I do think there's a little bit more of an aggressive playmaking thing with Minshew, sure. But Goff still is big. Goff's arm's a little better than everybody gives it credit for. And, you know, he's still played some football and enough football that, to me, yes, it's still a little bit above Gardner Minshew at this point.
Goff's name will come this up
is
here
a tight,
at some
yes,
point.
Yes, it's going to come up at some point. This 38-28, I mean, it's tight, man. It is tight.
One name we've not heard, Blaine Gabbert.
Yep.
At Joe Bucks fan says, don't hold your breath for Blaine Gabbert. Last year, Arians called Gabbert the most underrated player in the NFL. Last week, Bucks QB coach Clyde Christensen said Gabbert is one of the top backups in the league.
Yes. Hey, I love that Joe Bucks fan. What up, my man? I'm glad he's listening to the pod. Yes. Also last week, though, that they then also did say Kyle Trask was going to compete for the backup job.
Ooh, that's
right. And then I also want to say to add Joe Bucks fan, at the combine, Bruce Arians thought that Kyle Trask would be maybe the starting quarterback for the year. Right. So Blaine Gabbert, I know the talent and that it is real. I get it. You know, I guess what I would just say is it just haven't been able to really see him play in a real situation in a long time. So that's hard for me to just say, okay, I'm going to throw him out here on the list. I understand,
right?
You know, what everybody's saying there. And I know he has real talent, but maybe, you know, that's a guy, again, here it's where it's like, you know, he was on my final 48 or whatever, but it's just like, man, I haven't seen it do it.
Geno Smith.
Geno Smith got to do it. Exactly right.
Again.
And so that's the hard part for me with this list and guys like that. But that's a good question. But they've been sending mixed messages out of Tampa Bay about him.
Dolphin 1993 wants to stir it up a little bit, okay? You probably know where this is going with the Dolphin. I assume since I don't see Tua here, you don't even put him in your top 40.
You're wrong. You're wrong, Dolphin 1993. All right? He's on this list. He is. I'm not a jerk. I don't try to be biased. I am. I really don't. I work hard on not being biased and evaluating it for what it is. All right? He's in the top 40. He's in the top 30. Is he in the top 20? No. Okay. But he's coming up.
I might get him Wednesday then.
Yeah, you might.
I might. I'm lucky.
Yeah, he'll be coming up here in one of the next few episodes.
Next couple shows.
Yeah, we'll get into Tuanon. I don't want to, you know, use any of my best stuff here on him. We'll have a good conversation when that time comes, though, for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love your list, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
I appreciate you doing it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's stressful. It stresses me out.
I know it is.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, but
only
it's all good.
Only because you care, which is cool.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I do care. I really do. All right, everybody. That's it.
There it is.
There it is. What do you say?
There's a show, that's a show.
Yeah, it's not a show until you say it.
There's
all right?
a show, that's a show.
It's
yes,
in
sir.
The books. All right, everybody. We'll be back Monday. Ahmed will be back here. Top 40 countdown will continue. You'll see me talking about some of this stuff on Pro Football Talk with Florio, too. So if you want to, you know, stream that on Peacock or anything, you'll see some even more conversations about these quarterbacks and everything. But, again, I really do. I love, like, these questions here that we got at the end of the pod today. Great questions.
Yeah.
They really are. And I love the questions. I love it. So please send it, even if they're a little negative. I don't care. You know, I like it because it triggers things in my brain to then explain the point better to why I got the guy there. I really do. You're not disrespecting me. I like the challenge of it, and I'm already well thought out. My biggest thing is, can I get all my thoughts out of my stupid fucking mouth in time to really explain it the right way? That's the big challenge.
That should lead the pod on Monday.
Okay.
Or save it for Wednesday.
Save it for yours.
So I can
okay.
hear it again.
Yeah. All right, good. All
Beautiful.
Right. All right, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the weekend. Be safe. Enjoy the nice weather. We're finally getting it up here in the Northeast. As you can see, Paul's guns are out today.
There we go.
All right, everybody. Be good. Be safe. Paulie, you the man.
Good to see you, man.
See ya.
See you soon.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.